listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Into the Celtics postgame show, CLNS Media. Joe Sway Pavones here. I haven't done this in a while, and what a good game to come back on the mic for CLNS Media Celtics postgame show. Joe Sway Pavones here. That is me, and I'm joined by someone I haven't talked Celtics with in a long time, or at least not on something like this, like a podcast, or even on camera. We haven't done this in a while. Nick Gelso joins me to react from this game. What a game from the Boston Celtics as they fall short against the Sacramento Kings, 100-99. This one came down to the wire. And I'll tell you this much, Nick. From the way this game was playing itself out throughout the second half, I got to say, the Celtics just gave you that impression that they're just going to be able to just come and be the offensive powerhouse they've been this season, especially in the second half. You sort of got that feeling as they were slicing down their deficit from the Kings. And then all of a sudden, you think, okay, Buddy Hield can't carry this team all the way through this, right? I mean, Jason Tatum's heating up here, and, you know, Kemba Walker, you know, hit a big shot there. But then Buddy Hield hits another one with under 2 minutes left from behind the arc. Celtics clinging on to a one-point lead, and then came the most controversial play of the game, that Marcus Smart offensive rebound. That is a jump ball if it's not Marcus Smart. Am I in the minority in thinking that? Come on, Nick. I mean, I'm getting to the point where it's like Marcus Smart just has like a target on his back when it comes to the officials. The officials, they're double thinking. They doubt themselves when it comes to Marcus Smart. You know what I mean? And then you know the rest of it, right, Nick? You know what happens. Holmes makes both free throws. The Kings go up by one, and then who other than Marcus Smart gets a chance to win the game? A great move to the rim, open floater. 9 times out of 10, that ball goes through the bottom of the net, but of course that wasn't the case. It just sat there on the rim. Somebody put a fan on or something in that arena because they pushed the ball right off the rim, and just like that, the Celtics' 10-game winning streak comes to an end in Sacramento. Nick, thoughts, concerns moving forward? What do you got for me, man?
Yeah, man. It wouldn't be a post-game show here if we weren't bitching about the officials. That has been, like, the only thing consistent over the last 10 years.
That never changes. That's true.
If that wasn't Marcus Smart, you're right. And you know what? As much as I love Marcus, that is his own fault for all the whining he's done over the years. I mean, he's a marked man. I mean, I remember the flopping and all that. I still think that's playing a factor. As sad as that is. All I know is I knew this was a trap game. I called it a loss, and I think it's not a loss because the Celtics got out of Sacramento with no injury to Kemba Walker, which looked scary for a moment there. Like,
hopefully. I don't know, Nick. Yeah, it didn't look good. Well, hopefully he's okay. But, yeah, continue.
Yeah, it was contact. Oh, it looked like a stinger maybe or a hip splinter or something. It was in, like, the knee-thigh area, but I think he's fine. He went, but did he leave the game?
He didn't. He didn't. No. He seemed to be okay, but, you know, it's just we've seen this in the past, right, Nick? You know, he gets the night off.
Too much.
Tomorrow morning, something flares up, you know what I mean? So hopefully he's okay, but I don't know. It didn't look good, but hopefully he'll be all right because, of course, this is the first of a back-to-back set for the Celtics. They do head down to Phoenix, and we're going to play the Suns tomorrow night where we'll see old friend Aaron Baines. But, look, I get it when it comes to Marcus Smart, Nick. You know, obviously he didn't do himself any favors for what he's done in the first couple of weeks of the season, you know, barking at the refs and getting into it with the officials. But at what point does it get to the point where Marcus Smart is, okay, not only a very respected NBA veteran, right, one of the best on-ball defenders in the NBA. Some people will call him the best defending guard in the NBA. When does that level of respect carry itself over, especially in crucial possessions like this, Nick? You know, I mean, you look at the replay over and over again, and I don't see a foul. And they had a chance to review it, and I didn't see a foul. And it makes you wonder how frustrating it must be for someone like Marcus Smart, who, of course, not only spoke up about it to Brad Stevens, but Brad Stevens even opened up and said, look, he he got mad at me before. He's yelled at me before when it comes to me having to defend him with the officials. And we didn't see that. You know, I know Brad Stevens did call the timeout so that the officials could look it over, but Brad didn't seem too frustrated. And look, I'm not saying Brad has to like lose his, you know, go nuts over some kind of play like that. And then he has to show how angry he is. But after what you saw today, do you kind of think, you know, Marcus Smart, do you kind of think Marcus Smart is sort of, you know, has a point when it comes to seeing his head coach defend him? Like when it comes to sketchy plays like this with him and the officials?
I mean, we discussed it last night. You are a product of your boss, right? So, you know, when Doc was there, everybody wanted to complain because Doc was one of the biggest whiners and complainers, right? Brad, I think, is very level. We were not on any shows last night. We're not out in Sacramento. We were sitting at a bar talking about this, which is sad. But
Celtics. No, it's nothing sad about that, Nick. Come on, we were talking Celtics.
We were talking
about this team.
That's what Max would say, right? Get a life. I just think, like, in this case, Brad has to stay level, and it's better for his teammate or his players if he does. I mean, and then when he does make he loses it a little bit, then at that point, it really makes an impact because he's not constantly whining. I don't know, man. I don't even get upset about this loss. Do you? I mean, I think, you know, they maybe took it a little for granted tonight, but the Kings have been playing better, and Boston was due for – they had the last couple games allowed teams to hang around with them. I mean, the real story
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the real story here is that here we are, you know, a year later, and a superstar less. Say everybody's thinking the Celtics are fourth, fifth, or sixth seed, and they're the number one team in the league, and – not looking to have calmed down or like resting on their laurels. Now, tonight, maybe they did a little bit, but there's a definite chemistry with this team, and the ball dropped a different way than it should have tonight, really, because that shot by Marcus, and it would have been fitting had it dropped, it rolled around that rim. It was like I was waiting for Red Auerbach to tap it in, right? I mean, it hit every corner of that rim, and that's typical Marcus, you know? The offensive rebound and all that nonsense. So, I don't worry about this at all. They come back from this road trip. The big game is obviously the Clippers, and we'll see what happens there. And, you're right. Brad, I'm watching him on NBC now, and he doesn't even look rattled at all. Josue, how about last year? He came out of the tunnel into the conference room every night. He had bloodshot eyes. Like, he was bleeding out his eyes, the poor guy.
I don't think it was every night. Nick. I mean, he wasn't like crying out of the locker rooms, but there were a couple of nights, couple of players only meetings that had him going back to the podium, not quite sure what to say to the media. Yeah, he wasn't quite sure to the media. But this is different. It's a different team, Nick. Different year.
Different.
And,
same team, really. Different
and
culture.
And hear me out, Nick. This isn't. Yeah. I'm not concerned about this team because of this loss. I just, in my opinion, this is going to be a talking point moving forward when it comes to Marcus Smart and his constant battle with the referees. You know, we're starting to see a pattern here, and I think Marcus Smart is obviously not someone's going to let up. He's not going to change his ways. You know, this is the way he plays. He's physical. He's going to get in there. He's going to grab rebounds. It's exactly what he did. And at one point, do officials start to respect him in the sense of letting him
never
be that physical and show that physicality without whistling him for fouls? I mean, that's what I'm waiting for.
As much as we'd like to see that, it's just not the way the game is played today. And, like, look at the video that we put out today for your podcast, the fights. I mean, in the 80s, in the 90s, 70s. It just ain't that game anymore. And a guy like Marcus Smart plays like a Dennis Johnson or like those old school guys who – yeah, man, they play with their body, and he's getting himself so frustrated. He's going to keep complaining. They're not going to call it the way he wants them to. And I think is that I've abandoned that whole thing probably 3 years ago when I changed my tune on Marcus. I was not a Marcus fan, and now I'm like, you know what? It's like a KG thing, right? You know, he's going to do what he does, and I'd say 75% of it's going to be good, better than, you know, the hustle, the intangibles, and you put up with the rest, He's never going to get it from the refs. I look at a guy like Jason Tatum and say, geez, man, please stop whining. You know, he's a guy you can mold at this point and get him to stop. Marcus is who he is. I'll take that. I'll take the little bit of, whining to the refs or whatever, because he makes up for it on the other end. And there was a time where, yes, you could have contact, everything else, and now you can't even come within 10 feet of people. But there was a time where if you played with maximum effort the way Marcus does and you sacrificed your body, the refs would throw you a bone once in a while. You know what I mean? Like, they'd say, man, he is, and you'd see it. You'd see it with guys like Dennis Rodman and the guys, DJ and those type guys, and it just doesn't exist today. And it's a shame. I mean, it's hurt the game, and Marcus needs to just give up on it. I don't think the refs are ever going to come around.
347-215-7771 is the number to join the conversation here in the Celtics post-game show. That's 347-215-7771. The Celtics drop a heartbreaker against the Kings, 100-99. And, of course, the Marcus Smart play at the end is a talking point. The controversial offensive foul, Marcus Smart's a talking point. But we also can't just forget what we saw from Buddy Hield. What an amazing performance by Buddy Hield. All four quarters, but especially in that second half, he finished with 35 points, a game-high 35 points, 7 of 12 from behind the arc. And he was really the story for the Kings. Kept them in it, gave them the lead, and essentially gave them a much-needed win for this Kings team. I tell you, Nick, one reason why I wasn't really or not really disappointed about this loss is because I sort of predicted this to happen. I figured throughout this five-game road trip, this is going to be a tough matchup for the Celtics team. Of course, this is a Sacramento team that is playing without its starting point guard and De'Aaron Fox, who's a very, very important player for this offense. But you look at someone like, you know, Buddy Hield, you look at Rickon Holmes, you know, you got Harrison Barnes, who I thought would have a better night, but he did finish with 13 points. A lot of offensive weapons here. You know, Bogdanovich can really get it going from deep. You know, he had a streaky night, but he hit a couple of shots that when they really needed it to sort of keep control of the momentum. And you look at this Kings team, and you remember what happened last time the Celtics were in that building. That one really came down to the wire. It actually came down to a Gordon Hayward game winner, you know, for the Celtics. But this team could keep up with the Celtics. And, of course, they showed that plenty from the way they were able to knock from downtown and the way their offense essentially was led by someone like Buddy Hield, who just looked like the best scorer in the gym.
Yeah, man, I'm with you, too. I kind of had this one pinpointed. You know, once they went on the win streak, I just felt like this was the game that was going to be the trap game, and Phoenix could fall into that category too, for sure. Yeah, man, Buddy Hield, jeez, man, oh my God, you know, it's sad because we're here on the East Coast, don't travel with the team much anymore, and you don't get to see these West Coast players. Like, I forgot about Buddy Hield, but, you know, and damn, I mean, the dude lit it up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he can just really get it going. Doesn't need a lot of space to get that shot off. And Jason Tatum, I mean, how many times did he have a hand right in his face and there was just nothing he could do about it, man? It's impressive.
Yeah,
it was an impressive shot.
There was no defending him tonight. I mean, the long run, Tatum's not, you know, people criticize his defense, but he was up in his grill all night, and the long arms should rattle him. But a guy like him, he's just goofy. I mean, this Sacramento team is impressive. You know, I've been hearing a lot about them, but again, you don't get to see them very much being out east, and they play so late. So this was fun. I mean, I hate to see the loss, but all I really cared about all since opening night, I mean, it's a bonus and it's wonderful that they've gone on a 10-game win streak and they've led the league, but all I wanted was effort and emotion and positivity, and this team has all of it, and they're winning. So and the injury to Gordon is unfortunate, but it's not so bad. He's gonna come back, you know, let's say by January the latest. And look at Jaylen Brown. I mean, the dude is just blossoming. Was he like 18-8 tonight or something like that? He's hitting, knocking down threes, and he could finally handle the ball, dude.
Yeah, you know, from the beginning, it looked like it was gonna be Jaylen Brown versus Buddy Hield show. You know, Buddy Hield sort of had a bit of a better night, but Jaylen Brown led the Celtics in scoring with 18 points and 8 rebounds to go with that. You know, he led 6 Celtics players in double figures So you're seeing that same consistency from the offense, of course. The best offense in the NBA right now, Celtics offense, of course, showed out. You know, they balled out in that second half, but just came down to the wire, and the Kings ultimately ran away with this one, you know. But you look at, there's a lot of positive things to take away from this trip, or from this game, I should say. And one of them has to be what we saw from Daniel Tice. What a game from Daniel Tice. I mean, you talk about what you need out of your big man, out of your five, name it, and he did it throughout this game. I mean, he was grabbing rebounds. He was scoring. He was attacking the rim. He was rebounding. He was giving the Celtics second-chance opportunities. In my opinion, that was the difference for the Celtics throughout that comeback, or at least throughout being able to sustain that 5 or 4 point window. That it seemed like the Celtics was always right behind the Kings. You knew they would pull ahead, and that's exactly what they did. And I think Daniel Tice had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, hustle and
hustle.
Said
exactly.
It right.
You
he
saw
did everything that. Yo, what?
I'm saying. You saw plays where it seemed like he was the hardest working guy on the floor.
Yeah, man, reckless abandon. I mean, people are, and I'm one of them, and we could get on a street going, oh, dude's tinfoil, he's always injured. But the truth is, the dude plays with his body. I mean, he was all over the court tonight. He was wiping up the floor with his jersey, not for lack of hustle. I mean, the Celtics need a big, there's no question. But people forget that Daniel Tice, you know, at 28 or 27, he was a rookie here. He had already been an all-star over in Europe, and that's no slouch. I mean, that's pretty big. So, you know, having him in there and contributing the way he did, almost contributed to the Celtics making this an 11 game win streak.
Almost, which would have been historic, by the way. It would have been the first time an NBA team has ever dropped the first game of the season and went on to win 11 straight. But the streak does end at 10
first times. Like, dude, isn't it getting annoying? Like, it's the first time. Everything's a first time. All right.
Yeah, but that's a good thing, though, Nick. You know, the Celtics are breaking records here. They just came up short today, but it's still an impressive feat for this young Celtics team as they won 10 in a row before dropping this one in Sacramento. Like I said from the top, phone number, of course, to join us is 347-215-7771. That's 347-215-7771. And with that being said, we get to our first caller. His name is Tom, and he's in L.A. What's going on, Tom? Tom in L.A. I haven't talked to you in a while. How's it going?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, good. What's going on, Tom? What do you got for us?
Not too much. I mean, it's never fun to see an actual loss, but you know, I've been pleasantly surprised by this team so far this year. I think, you know, what I'm definitely going to be looking for now is can we see Tatum and Brown consistently do this for the entire season, right? Because I think what we have on our team right now, you know, I think for the last 3 to 4 years, you know, we've had all these picks, we've had all these assets. You know, and to be honest, even with the winning streak, I'm not crazy excited about where I think we should be and what our future currently looks like, I'd say. But the fact that Tatum and Brown are showing out now, I think they're the two players on our team that are ceiling raisers. I think I like Kemba, but I still think Kemba is what I would consider to be a floor raiser, meaning when Kemba Walker is on your team, I think it's tough to be bad, but I don't think he necessarily raises the ceiling to championship level. And so, you know, what I'm really curious to see is can the two young guys sustain it, and can they actually take it from a star to a superstar level? Because, you know, I think this is our team now, for better or worse, for a bit. Most of the draft picks have already come in. I think there's a good chance Memphis holds on to that pick in this year. And unfortunately, I think there's a decent chance Memphis might be not pretty good, but not horrendously bad during the season where they have to owe us that pick. And so, I don't know. It's an exciting season. I'm happy after last year to be watching a team that is just more harmonious basketball. But still,
I like that. That's a great way to put it. I like that.
That is a good way to put it.
But still, I don't know. I still feel like, even with like Hayward back, I just still feel like the pieces we're missing are pieces that we had, And so, like, I don't know. And I know I need to get past that. I know I need to get past it because
wait a minute.
We have an exciting team.
Let's drill down on that a little bit. So,
you
want to
go first,
what
Nick?
You're saying
you
then is they didn't, Danny didn't improve the team, but the team, the pieces that Danny had put together got better? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think he what's the best way to put this? It's not that I don't think he improved the team. Well, A, I don't think we improved the team. Like, I think I'll say that. I think it's a better – how do you say you don't think someone improved the team? Well, he didn't improve the team talent-wise, but he still managed to put a better team on the floor, if that makes sense. I think Hayward coming back healthy, even though he got hurt, looks a lot better. But what I think has changed is that this is very much one of those teams that I just don't see. I don't think this team wins a title, and I think this team might actually kind of I don't think we're at our ceiling because I think Tatum and Brown can still get better, but I don't know if the ceiling of this current team is going to ever be able to beat out what other teams are going to put together onto the floor. So I think, you know, it's nice to see a better team, but we're, you know, this would be a better team if Kyrie Irving wasn't insane and Horford was on the team and Hayward came back up. Like,
you're parsing words, but that's because you're making a point that's good. But like, to me, it's this: the team could be exactly the same as last year, but last year wasn't a team. Last year was a combination of egos, led by the biggest ego in the NBA, and or one of them, maybe not the biggest. But what we're seeing this year is players who are allowed to be themselves. So it's a damn shame that last year had probably the most talented combination of players maybe in the league, and they couldn't get it together. Because I think you're not seeing much more other than the black cloud is lifted and no one is playing with fear or tension and anxiety. Certainly Hayward has improved beyond the fact that the dark cloud is gone. But now Hayward is on the bench again, so, and they're still performing really well as a team. And Jalen, I mean, I've never, Josue, tell you, we spent many a night at Boston Garden beating up on Jalen. I did, at least. But
yeah, you
he
did. Speak
has
for yourself.
Come into this year. I've never been a Jalen guy, but he has come into this season with an amazing improvement over last year. And it's the first time I could honestly, I mean, he's always come in slightly improved. I mean, he added a jump shot 2 years ago, but I didn't see him this summer on his Instagram carrying boulders up a mountain, and thank God for that, because instead he was just got his ass in the gym and learned how to dribble. You know what I mean? He's,
yeah, you know, Tom, you talked about
playmaking. It's a vast improvement over the previous seasons.
Yeah, you know, you talked about what's encouraging for the team. I think it's Jaylen Brown's is a big part of that. You know, you look at what he's been able to do. He's now, I know it's a small sample size, 8 games at this point, you know, because he did miss a couple because of injury. But he's a 20-point scorer, and I think one of the most encouraging things you have to look at is his three-point percentage. Now, right now, he's shooting 34%, but we've seen him shoot at 39%. You know, I think that's something to keep a close eye on. If he can be more consistent, a bit more consistent from behind the arc, I think that's going to make this team a hell of a lot better and just continue that momentum. Having someone that's going to force opposition to opposing teams to really buckle down defensively, and it's going to cause trouble for opposing teams, you know, when he's able to spread the floor and he's knocking down the three-point at a consistent rate. Of course, Jason Tatum looks like he's making that leap. And, of course, before Gordon Hayward went down, I mean, you talk about someone who's the most important player on this team, that's Gordon Hayward. If Gordon Hayward can continue to be what we saw throughout the first month of the season, that's a very good offensive combination between the three of those guys. And I think that's essentially going to be the difference for the team and them trying to make it to the NBA Finals.
For sure. I mean, like, personally, what I would love to see them be able to do, and I don't know who this actual player is right now, I guess is the problem. I think Hayward's definitely going to come back and be good. I think just, you know, Jaylen Brown, he's improved drastically. I think it's tempered by the fact that, okay, but now he's no longer going to be $6 to $7 million a year. He's now a $28 million a year player, whatever that is, right? So even though he's improved,
but
what he's done is he's improved
like,
up to his contract.
Thing.
You know what I mean? So we need Jaylen Brown to be that, because if he's not exactly this, then that contract is bad. And so, you know, I think what we miss is some of like what I miss is some of the outlandish upside that we had in the past few years when we had this young talent on the rookie
deals.
Contract. you know, Kemba, I think is he's good. It's just look. Once again, I'm happy that we are a good team. I'm happy that we're better than we were last year. But if this makes sense, and I know this is a tough thing to say, while we are a better team than we were last year, we have a worse chance to win the NBA championship.
I think you make sense, man. I think you make sense because last year there was way more talent on that team. Right. If anything last year proved, it's two things. First is chemistry is everything. Leadership is everything. I all the years I've been covering this team, this game, I have never seen a more talented, a wasted talented team. Like they just wasted away and fell apart. We would walk in the locker room after a win and everybody be glued to their cell phones instead of celebrating. You'd swear somebody died. The second thing is all these dorks with their Excel spreadsheets can all go the hell home because on paper that team should have won the championship and they couldn't even – they barely sniffed the second round because you can't put chemistry, cohesion, and leadership in an Excel spreadsheet with data that the nerds go with. So those are the two big takeaways. So, like, for me, I agree with what you're saying on paper. You're right. You know, and I think all season long, everybody was saying last year they're going to get it together. They're going to get it together. Wait till playoff time. You know, they'll flip the switch. What switch? They never had a switch to flip. So, with chemistry and Brad Stevens being respected and being utilized as the genius he is and these players playing freely – I think the Celtics are much closer to that Eastern Conference Game 7 Finals team they were 3 years ago than they ever were at any point last season. It was a disaster.
Yeah, but I think you got to look at the commitment they've made to Jaylen Brown as a sign of, look, this is the two-year run that they're going to see what they have, you know, see what's going to happen with these rookies, with these young guys, someone like Robert Williams, you know, what's he going to look like a year from now? You know, and I think that's the right path, you know. The Anthony Davis thing is out the window. There isn't that ideal superstar guy that you can put together assets with and go get right now. Maybe something pops up next year. Maybe things get a bit more interesting depending on what they do with Gordon Hayward's contract when that finishes or when that's off the books or whenever it's, you know, whether they restructure it or lock him in for another year. It's going to be interesting to see what happens between now and, you know, the next couple of seasons. But I think you know you have that foundation with those four guys. And I think that's a solid place to be in the Eastern Conference, you know.
You throw Al Horford and Donnie Wahlberg. I hate to say this, but he said it perfect. The Celtics are
one Al Horford away
from a championship. He really did. And if you threw Al Horford in that equation with this young core and Kemba, and Horford said he would have stayed, I think, didn't he, if he knew Kemba was coming?
Didn't they have to get rid of Horford to get Kemba? Mm-hmm. They couldn't have both.
Yeah, either Horford or Smart, I think it was one of those two. So, I mean, let's not kid. I mean, Al would have stayed had Danny been crazy enough to offer that money. I mean, thank God Danny Ainge knows how to say no.
No,
yeah,
I think it's
– Celtics fans are bitching because of Hayward's $30 million. Imagine if we were paying – the Celtics were paying a 35-year-old – big man, 30 months. He'd be average Al all season. Lou Maloney would have everything. He would have content for years if he signed that contract.
That's true.
To be honest,
hey, Tom, I appreciate you coming
in,
man.
To be honest with you, I actually think we're slightly lucky that Hayward – I don't want to say lucky. We're lucky Hayward didn't just have 82 games of exactly what he's been doing. Because the understated fact for him is that this free agency period is totally barren. I mean, there's no one, and I think he has an opt out at the end of this year. And
he does.
If he has a season like he's having, I would be shocked if he doesn't opt out because he's basically, other than Draymond Green, and I'd rather have Hayward going forward than Draymond. basically the only premier free agent who's even eligible to be an unrestricted free agent in 20. I mean, I guess Davis is too, but I don't imagine he's going anywhere if their season keeps going like this. So I actually wouldn't be shocked if he opts out, kind of forcing the Celtics to make a decision. Do we go 4 more years to this guy or let him walk, which is hopefully that's a decision we don't have to make, because I'd really like to see him for 2 years before having to make that choice.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Tom. Appreciate you calling in. We have a couple more callers on here, man, so we got to get to the next one. Sorry about that, Tom. Thanks for checking in. Let's keep it moving here. We have Ted and Easton wants to join us. What's going on, Ted?
Hey, what's going on down here in Easton? So here's the way I kind of view our team here. The next 3 games is going to show a lot. I think last year, you know, we would have spiraled out of control and lose, you know, 6 in a row and point fingers. And I think this is where our leadership from Kimbe needs to step up. And then also I think getting Hayward back eventually, I really think that to have – we just didn't have one guy that was on fire getting, you know, Kimba, Tatum, Brown, and if you have Hayward, the odds of one of the 4 not going off, I mean, that's why I think, man, that we're going to be fine. I mean, I'm just – it's a disappointing game, but I just think the character and if we were to start this whole thing and you were to tell me, hey, after opening night, well, we're still the best record in the East, I'd have taken it. So I guess I'm trying to look at the positive today.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of positive things to take away from this game. You know, you saw the ball movement, which I can't get enough of that. You know, I love how everyone's sharing the ball, and whoever gets that open shot doesn't have any doubt in the world that shot's not going to go in. You see that confidence, and it starts from someone like Kemba Walker all the way down to someone like Daniel Tice throughout that starting 5. You know, 26 assists. They shot 41% from the floor, you know, 34 made field goals. So you saw that ball movement, and they just came up short. You know, they looked like they were going to pull away with it.
Would you put it in Tatum's hands and have him just take it to the hole? Because Tatum, man, can get – he's got that.
Well, Tatum did that. Tatum did have that up and under, but he came up short, you know.
You what?
Yeah. He did make a key push to the rim with about a minute left, and he just came up short. He tried doing up and under, and the Kings capitalized on him. But, yeah, you know, that's just something that this team's going to have to figure out, late game execution and how to, you know, come out victorious, you know, after the way they've been playing in the second half, you know, coming down to the wire the way they did today against the Kings.
This is a surprising game. It just makes you – I mean, you're so excited about this team, and you just got to shake it. Tomorrow night, Denver, I think, is coming off a back-to-back. They're about to play tonight. Go into Denver, get that game, and you know what, man? I think Celtic fans can just kind of breathe a minute, you know, and just get back, get to Hayward. And I think when you got all 4 plus smart, I mean, I want to see what this team we can be unbeatable as long as one of those 4 can catch fire and Marcus still plays defense like he does. He's probably the best defense player since Garnett.
Well, that defense made all the difference today, Ted. You know, unfortunately, but not in the Celtics' favor. Ted, I thank you for checking in. We're going to keep it
Take
moving
care,
here.
Bro.
We got Gabe. You too, Ted. We got Gabe in New York who's been waiting patiently. He joined the show right now. What's going on, Gabe? Thanks for calling in.
Sure. Thank you, guys. A good game today. A little bit short, as you guys said. You know, I felt like it was a winnable game. A couple of turnovers in first half. You know, a couple of missed shots. But I don't know. It felt like, you know, if you're like the best team on the NBA right now, every team is going to try to come and get you. And looks like Sacramento came with a lot of energy in the first quarter, won the first quarter, and felt like we were trying to play catch-up the whole game. Just didn't feel like the Celtics have the same kind of energy, kind of sloppy plays here and there. You know, a couple of plays where there wasn't any extra pass there that we used to see them in the past couple of games. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think when it comes to energy. Go ahead, Nick.
Go ahead. All right. Well, I'm going to get a real quick comment on it, and then I'll throw it to you, Joe Sway. My opinion is, and you're going to see more of it as the season goes on,
the scouting report is out, guys. So people, opposing teams know that when the Celtics come into town, they are going to face a formidable opponent. They are the first stretch of the season, you can't really gauge, you know, what an overall record is going to be, right? The schedule has been first times on everybody. Well, you know, the Celtics are tonight, you know, you're right. Maybe they weren't as sharp as they had been. The energy maybe wasn't quite as good as it had been. But the Kings are a good team, and they were prepared. So as the season wears on and the Celtics start seeing teams for the second time, and in some cases the third and fourth time, and it's going to get harder and harder, and people are going to start taking them more and more seriously. And with that, they'll be more and more prepared. So that's when we're really going to see, you know, where the meter is on this team in reality, when you're talking about, you know, their abilities to go deep into the playoffs or come out with a 50-plus win record. Go ahead, Josue.
Right, definitely. No, I was going to say something similar to that, but also going to add, you know, we're going to find out a lot more about this second unit. You know, now that Robert Williams is back, we know Gordon Hayward's not going to be coming back anytime soon. I liked what I saw from someone like Brad Wanamaker today, you know, really neutralizing the floor, being that secondary playmaker that the Celtics need him to be. That is an encouraging sign for this team. Kemba Walker's going to have to get his rest, you know, not to start a whole conversation about, you know, time management and all that stuff and resting his guys. But I think you want to have three or four guys that Brad Stevens can rely on. And I think Brad Wanamaker can be one of those guys. Shemi Ojeleye put together a really good game today as well. He finished with 11 points in 20 minutes. You know, he came out of the gate, gave you that energy in the first half. And if you remember, the Celtics needed that right before halftime. You know, they pulled close with the Kings. Like you said, you know, the whole game was close throughout. It seemed like it was back and forth. And, of course, the Celtics did pull ahead, but then so did the Kings. I just think when it comes to the second unit, if they can see that consistency to help the starters, that's going to put them in really good shape to win these games. Look, this came down to the wire. There's a game that could have easily been a win for the Celtics. But I think there's a lot of good things to take away from this game and a lot of things that we're going to find out about this team throughout this five-game road trip. Hey, if they go 3-2 in this one, let's say maybe they drop one against the Clippers, maybe they drop one against the Suns tomorrow night, that's still a pretty good trip, relatively speaking, for a team that's going into their very first five-game West Coast road trip. You know, and I love that this is happening now, happening in November. This team's going to find out a lot about themselves and a lot about their identity.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, well said. Yep.
Hey, Gabe, I appreciate you calling in. All right.
West early this year too. I mean,
yeah, I'm still here. Thank you.
All right, Gabe.
Thanks,
Gabe. You have a good one, man. Thank you for checking in. All right, let's keep it moving here. Yeah. Thank you to everyone calling in. Still plenty of time here. If you want to join us, Celtics postgame show, 347-215-7771. Again, the phone number is 347-215-7771. And we'll go to what we got next here. Nick, let's see. August in New York. August joins the show, Celtics postgame show, CLNS Media. What's going on, August? What you got for me?
Hey, how you guys doing? How's everything going for you guys?
We're good. We're
up,
good.
August?
No complaints besides a heartbreaking loss in Celtics. That's all we have.
Exactly. Exactly. No, and I just wanted to touch on everything you guys said I agree with. Real quick, I just think that the best part about this season
right now
for me.
Yeah, man, you better agree with us, man.
I don't. Yes, if I don't agree, you better hang up the line, right?
I'm just kidding. No,
fair,
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, we're our youngster, right?
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
No, that's good. I think that the best part for me has been, you know, when Kyrie, you know, went away last year and then Gordon coming back and everything, there were a lot of question marks with Horford leaving. A lot of people were saying before the season, where's the scoring going to come from? It's just been really nice to see consistent, you know, 18 to 20 plus games from more than one guy on the team. When you look at the Celtics, their identity to me is the team that was similar to a team back in 2008, 2009 and on, to where it was, yeah, you had great players, but the Celtics pride is back, in my opinion. You watch these guys out there. They're playing hard. They're playing passion-spirited basketball.
Yep.
And it's starting to fit into that mentality of what we as fans, I would like to say, really are you're caring about more than anything. You know, I posted not too long ago on Twitter. I said it's not just about the wins and the championships. That, to me, comes when you have the basketball skills with the spirited basketball that they seem to be playing right now.
August, I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to cut you off, August, because I got to tell you, man, you're seeing it all when you say it. The biggest win of this season, I have two things. Why is it always two? I do have two things, though. The biggest win of this season thus far has been the fact that, you know, he went to Brooklyn and the Celtics culture and the Celtics pride and what you just said, what fans, yeah. I guess, over the age of maybe, I don't even know at this point, in their, maybe they're in late 20s, would yeah. kind of feel. And that was my biggest fear last year. Joe Sway, I must have said it to you a million times. This jackass is going to destroy everything Danny Wick and Doc and Paul Pierce allowed a trade to happen to fix this team and ensure that they would be, you know, competitive for the next decade. And mm-hmm. I thought they were Celtics fans, they were Kyrie fans, were making fun of him, like Paul Pierce, last year. So, you know, mm-hmm. you're right. This team is unified. It is so glaringly obvious what the issue was last year. You don't even have to contemplate it as we did all last season. My second thing is, I was talking with Brad in August, no pun intended, it was August, and he made that exact same comment to me. And I said to him, I said to him, I have never heard any member of the organization say that. Like, basically what he said was, listen, man, he said, Nick, I don't care about banners. I don't care about anything other than giving the fans, you know, and I think he said it since, I've heard him say it, but giving the fans what we ripped them off of last year. And if that happens, mm-hmm. then I'm pretty confident this team will be competitive. And I never heard any member of the Celtics say anything remotely close to that. So you're right, man. I think you're right. And you could see it all over Brad's face. Everybody from Brett, from the, you know, whoever the star of this team is, whoever you consider the star to be, right down to the last guy on the bench and the coaches, it's a different – I'm a body language guy. And it's a different body language right from the jump, and they're fun to watch. And better yet, like, you know, the shock jock radio guys, they can't just say, oh, you know, the green teamers just want to have fun. They don't care about – listen, man, it's fun to watch, and the proof is in the pudding because they're winning. And they're winning mm-hmm. with – and when they lose – like tonight, they're losing with dignity. I don't see finger pointing. You know, they're not arguing on the bench. There's not outright arguments right on national television. Your star player's not yelling at his coach and just not running plays. I mean, I'm never satisfied, but it is satisfying to see, you know, that the culture and, you know, what makes this team special, the franchise itself, is still intact. After last year, that says a lot because that was a disaster.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're seeing a big difference. That's true. Yeah, that's a good, really good point, Nick. You know, you look at the rest of this bench too. I thought it was interesting how Brad Stevens is just sort of just awards the players who's been working their hardest. I feel like, you know, Shemiyoji, they earned himself 20 minutes, not because, you know, what he's able to do on the court, but also because you're seeing that level of effort. You're seeing that on the floor. You know, I mentioned what Daniel Tyson's been doing. You know, you saw him get minutes. We didn't see Grant Williams tonight, which I thought was interesting because it looked like Brad decided to go with these other guys, and I don't hate that decision. I love to see more Semi Ojeleye, that 3-and-D. I think he can be that guy, but I just think we're still trying to find out if he can be that guy consistently. Look, 3-for-4 from behind the arc, a handful of stops, really good plays, heads-up plays, got the fast break going, turned those defensive stops into easy buckets on the other end of the floor. I love that from Shemi, and hopefully Shemi can continue to do that for this team because it's going to make a huge difference for this team, especially when they're looking for consistent production from that second unit. You know, I'm really keeping a close eye on the second unit right now, guys, and I think it's going to be really important going into a game like against the Phoenix Suns, where those guys have been playing very well recently, or at least they've been, you know, putting forth the kind of effort that no one really expected from the team like the Phoenix Suns, and they're gonna get themselves the best that they have, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to do this on the second night of a back-to-back set.
No, I agree with you, man. I mean, back-to-backs, you know, see how they do it on the second night of. I mean, this team should respond fine on the second night of a back-to-back. They're young enough.
All right, August.
They're healthy enough.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you calling in, man. Call back again soon.
Thanks, August. Where was August from? New York?
New York. August is from New York.
So we got Las Vegas, New York, New Jersey. I mean, it's it is fun to see that Celtics fans are still calling in from all over the country. 10 years, dude. This show's 10 years old. I think it's 11, actually.
I know. I know. It's crazy. When's the last time you? When's the last time you got on the show? It's been a while. At least a couple of years, no?
I haven't hosted. I called in on request last year once or twice, but I haven't hosted a show. I don't know, thinking about a year. So I might do more because I'm not covering as many games. And as long as I'm not the lead host, I hate lead hosting.
I could tell when we spoke before we started recording. Yeah. All right, so
hey,
let's focus on the Suns for what's up.
Hey, it's Bobby Manning here tuning in real quick. Great show. I wanted another New York caller here. I want to drop in before you guys go with the Suns tomorrow. Baines, old friend Aaron Baines, dropping 20 points almost every night for that team. I got the league pass out here. School and I've been watching across the league, and I watch that team every night because Baines has just exploded out of nowhere. I don't know what got into him to Danny, traded him this summer, but he's leading a resurgent Suns team. Going to be a tough road trip ahead. Suns, Clippers, Nuggets ahead. I don't want to be that guy, but this could turn into a losing streak here pretty quickly with the Suns.
You know what? If they come by, I think Joe Sway's appraisal is right. If you can come back 3-2, even 2-3, I think it's a win without Hayward. And, you know, you're right, Bobby. I mean, I'll tell you what, Bob Ryan has not stopped about Aaron Baines. And it's telling. I mean, he's right. I think every single episode of his podcast with Jeff Goodman, it's been, we miss Baines. We miss Baines. And don't underestimate that altitude in Denver. That will definitely play a – people think it's BS. It's not BS. That's going to play an impact.
And that team's really good.
They're really good, man.
Yeah, I mean, really the Suns team is 4-2 in the last stretch. You know, you look at teams that they topped, you know, the Brooklyn Nets. They won recently against them. They put 138 points on the board there. Aaron Baines has gone over the 20-point plateau a couple times this season, and that's something that has been really eye-opening, of course, for Suns fans. And necessarily know what they're going to expect out of someone like Baines, but I don't think they expected that, right, guys? I mean, we've been raving about Baines for quite some time here in Boston, but I mean, the way he's been scoring at a high rate, it's been impressive. It really has been.
Yeah, and you know what's great is that across the league, and we expected this coming into the season, every team has a little bit that they can throw at you any given night that can make it tough on you. I mean, this Kings team was the worst team in the NBA to start the season. They're 5-2 or they're on a little bit of a streak right now. I don't know what they are of late, but I think they're 5-2 over their last 7. Without Fox, without Bagley, I mean, everybody across the league is competing. It's beautiful. I know you love it, Joe, so that we don't have a top-heavy league the way we've had the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. You know that I like to see a little bit more even spread so it's competitive and fun to watch. And for sure, I mean, don't get me going, though. Don't bring up load management. I can find a lot to bitch about, Bobby. But
we're not going to do that today. All right, thanks, guys. Just want to tune in with that. Great show.
I appreciate it,
Bobby.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby. Josue.
You know who else they beat, too? I bet you don't know this, Nick. They beat the Sixers. They gave the Sixers a loss. They gave them an L, the first L.
So what happened?
The Suns. They beat
that.
The Sixers about two weeks ago.
Yeah.
I can't
even think about the Suns without – Devin Booker just coming. That 70-point game was incredible. Were you at that game?
I was at that game.
Were you?
That was something else. Yeah, I was.
That was crazy. Crazy,
yeah.
Crazy. And
he can get going.
Crazy. With more calls?
Yeah, Rubio's also been a great point guard for them right now. He's having a good season. He's been averaging almost about a double-double. And
finally.
Yeah, he's going to have their hands full, man. It's going to be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where to go right after the game is over tomorrow night, of course, here at the Celtics post-game show. And that's going to do it for us. I am Josue Pavone. He is Nick Gelso. Nick, you got anything else before we get up out of here?
Nah, it was fun. Again, I'm going to say it one more time. Yeah, I do. You know what? I'm going to be a little mushy here. 10 years.
All right,
we
know it's been 10 years,
say,
Nick.
Show,
I knew it.
This show, and I'm glad to see it, it still encompasses what this network was founded upon, which was, and it sounds cliche because back in the day every blog said it, but it was giving the fans a voice. And my God, it is just so good. Not that I don't love Bostonians. I mean, I love where I come from, but it's so good to hear Celtics fans from New York, New Jersey, LA, Las Vegas who have an opportunity to call into this show and just talk and rant. And that's what it's all about. And thanks to Bobby Manning and everybody else who does it. I think I may talk everybody's ear off another game or two this season. So, yeah, man, go Celtics and keep the faith, guys.
All right, Nick. Always good to do a show with you, man. It's been a while, so I appreciate you hopping on this time. 10 years ago. Wow, 10 years ago this show started. We're going to keep it going here all season long throughout the 2019-2020 season. Everyone who calls in, appreciate you calling in. Everyone tuning in, we appreciate you tuning in. What's up, Nick? What'd you say?
I think it's actually 11. I think it was 09-10 was the first year. It was. It was that year with Rasheed. We used to always play the ball. Hey, listen, man. You go back in those clips and hear, we're still not good, but you could hear when we were really bad. On that note,
you gotta post those sometime soon, Nick. I guess that's what
they're still, they're all there on iTunes. I mean, I've tried to hide them, and you can't.
All right, we'll save the CLNS Media history lesson for another time, Nick. But in the meantime, you check us
later,
here,
later.
Of course, after the Phoenix Suns game, right after the game here, CLNS Media for. My co-host, Nick Gelso. I am Josue Pavone. This was fun, and I'll talk to you guys soon.